have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Well, 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 praise the Lord to everybody. Everybody ought to praise the Lord. And I'm telling you tonight, this is a great night, a great time, a great opportunity, because the voice has not been on the air for the last couple of weeks. But guess what? We're here tonight. It must be 10 o'clock and you're listening at the voice, and you are in sync with what God shall do tonight. Thank God for you, for you, for you, and for you. And we praise God for tonight to come and have an opportunity. Amen. Been through battle, but one for sure. We're still winning and getting the victory and being triumphant by the grace of God. Feeling good, feeling like brothers, feeling like shouting, feeling like sharing his word, feeling like God's about to work a miracle for somebody. Amen. You are listening at the host tonight, Apostle Vincent L. Smith, New Haven, Connecticut. The Lord bless you and keep you. Amen. Let's see who else is with us tonight. We hear the hand claps. We hear the music. Amen. We know at least one wonderful person has to be with us. Amen. That in the true name of Dr. Kitty Robinson, but we call her and we know her as Kitty Kim. Are you here tonight? Say hello.
Kimmy Kim is in the building. How are you doing today?
Kimmy Kim is in the building. And to get going with us tonight, thank God for you and for this time. Amen. Has our sweetheart, Miss Chanel, got here yet? All right.
Not
Chanel.
Yet. She could be coming on shortly. Yes, you may come
she
on shortly.
Either she ain't got home yet or she's taking a quick nap before she get on. Amen. All right, but we'll be looking for her. A great woman of God, ministering a great time tonight. Amen. If you are listening at 7 o'clock, I don't know if she's with us. Pastor Anna Henderson, are you with us tonight? We call it the quiet storm. Amen. It definitely was a storm tonight, and God used her in a great way on that conference call. Amen. All right. Our Bishop-elect is on vacation, and we thank God for him. Amen. Doing the ministry and the relaxation that he can while he is away. And we thank God for him. Amen. We wonder if our friend is with us. Amen. Down in Georgia. Or is he away making peach cobbler? Amen. Apostle Urban Whitlow, are you with us tonight? In Jesus' name.
Harpo. Harpo. Who that is over there? Who that is, Harpo? God bless you, man of God. Good to hear your voice. Thank God for you that all is well with you in Jesus' name.
Amen. I don't know about the other side of Georgia, whether if there is a queen of peaches on the line tonight. Amen. Is that queen peach on the line by the name of Apostle Felicia Flight? Amen. Is she here tonight? All right, I guess. She is looking at a video on her eyelids, and we thank God for her. Such a precious soul. Amen. Tonight, Apostle Whitlow, if you will get in Matthew the scripture about the resurrection. Amen. How Jesus did some things. direction. Amen. I think it's about team we want to start. Amen. Kimmy Kim, please give us our opening prayer tonight.
Amen. Thank you for this opportunity. Father God, thank you once again for another good day. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, Father God. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to break bread with one another. Father God, continue on. Certainly my brother, Apostle Smith, as he continue on with this wonderful podcast and voice. Give him favor. Continue on blessing him and increasing his territory, Father God. Thank you so much for this man of God. Also, Apostle Urban Whitlow, give him that strength and that favor as well, because they are so powerful in your word, Father God. Thank you so much for bringing them in my life. I have learned so much from both of them, and we want to give you honor and glory because you're worthy, and we make these prayers in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for everybody tonight. Amen. Look like we got a small crew, but believe me, it's a big crew, and God can speak wonderful things through those that you hear tonight. So stay tuned, amen, and hear what God shall say. Amen. Apostle Irvin Whitlow, could you please read our scripture for us?
I'm not certain if this is the one you want, but I'm in Matthew chapter 22, beginning with verse 23. It says, the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife.
I hate to stop you. That's a good scripture, too. But I think it's the book of Luke that I want, where it talks about how the earth shook and how an earthquake came in the graveyard of the book of Luke.
Let me see if I can locate that for you, sir.
Yes.
Let me see if this is what you're looking for in Luke 14 and 14.
All right.
And it says, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have brought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have brought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, go out quickly into the streets, into the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and there is yet room. The Lord said unto them, unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges, compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears, let him hear.
Tonight, from the subject, are you resurrection connected? Are you resurrection compliant? Are you connected? Are you in connection with resurrection? I want to talk from that tonight, day to get the proper scripture so we can discuss it tonight. But as I pull out some things, we're going to understand right where we are. Amen. Because it is the scripture about, amen, the earthquake, the resurrection. It is the scripture about some things that happened during that time. So we're going to be able to discuss tonight and have a good, good selling in our boat tonight. Amen. I want to talk about first that if we are talking about resurrection, from your own mind of a widow is death, not the Bible concordance is your answer. From your own mind, what is death?
Well, death is, there's twofold. There's the separation of the soul and spirit from the body, and then there is eternal separation from God. That's death.
Okay. All right. Kimmy Kim, please let us know what death is.
Death is when you are, once again, what Apostle Irving Whitwell said, when you are permanently separated from the love of God, you are living in darkness because he cannot receive you.
Okay. So therefore, if we take it like this, spiritually, death, as Pastor Whitlow said, is a separation. But spiritually, it can either separate you to life or separate you to death. It can send you to the king or send you to hell to be with that loser called the devil. And then we see in our natural life, death is called the end of breath, end of bodily function. It is called, amen, no more activity in the body. When you talk about death, you can look at death in so many ways. In the natural, it tries to exclude the spiritual standpoint at all. When you start talking naturally about death, it tries to only tell you about ending of life. No breath, no bodily function, no brain function, no use of the lungs anymore. no use of this or that. There's no spiritual indication. They try to tell you that all the natural functions of the body have ceased to operate anymore. But I want you to know tonight, as the apostle started us off tonight, I want you to know that death has more spiritual connotations than it does natural connotations. And I want you to hold fast to that tonight about this thing called death, because we cannot run to resurrection. Be about death. I'm not going to talk about death all night, but you can't talk about resurrection without there first being death. Now, talking about death, okay, let's talk about how they died. Who died, first of all? Who died in the
story? Who died?
Yes.
Who died in the story?
Yes.
It's Jesus who died, but he got up in on the third day with all power. So I
who died?
Jesus.
All right, you said Jesus. All right.
Lazarus died.
Lazarus died.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we know that to be true. Okay. Okay, now, in what fashion was there a death? Talk about resurrection.
Well, Lazarus, when he died an actual natural death. According to what we read in Scripture, the Bible said that Jesus told the disciples, Lazarus is dead, because they couldn't understand anything else. And Lazarus' sister, Mary and Martha, were like, Jesus, had you been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. But Jesus said, hey, this is so that the glory of God could be manifested. So Lazarus had a death. Matter of fact, was dead and was buried in what they call a sepulchre.
All right, since you bring that story up, wasn't there also a scripture that said he is sick unto death? His end was going to come because his sickness had him in line for what was going to happen to him. Is this true? Does anybody want to say yes, no, maybe?
Can you say that question one more time, please?
I want to say that in his story, that it was stated that his sickness is unto death. So was it already in order for him to be a part of death? Is that his sickness was unto death? But I want to know, was it death, or was there something else God had in mind?
I think that it was something else that God had in mind. Because, again, God does things differently. Why? Because his ways and his thoughts are higher than ours. So God does things in capacities that we will never understand. The Bible says that there is no searching of his understanding. So we won't understand why God did what he did, or the reason God did what he did. All we know is that God did it, and it was for his own glory.
Yeah. Now if we're going to prove that point tonight, because Kimmy Kim, what was the funny statement that Jesus made when he said Lazarus was dead? What was the statement he made first before he used the word dead? What statement did he make?
Good question. Let me see. Because I don't like to guess. What was Lazarus?
He said, if I may help her, he said, Lazarus is sleeping.
Wait a minute. I want to open up somebody tonight. What does that really mean when you say a person is asleep that day?
Well, what it means is that they're actually resting. They're in a place where they can rest because they've done what they needed to do, and they can take their rest. Just like at the end of the day, after you get through working, you come home, you lay your body down, you close your eyes, you are resting. In actuality, science has proved that is a reality. Whenever a person is sleeping, right, it is the time that they are actually supposed to be resting or somewhat in a dead state.
So not only did Jesus say he was sleeping, he said Lazarus doeth good.
Mm.
What kind of thing is this about somebody's head? He said he doeth good, and he said he sleeps. And now you're saying he's resting. What kind of talk is this we're doing about Lazarus? This is also what we need to understand about the saints. You talking about digging so-and-so in day in, mother so-and-so in day in, Reverend so-and-so in day in. Have you ever gone to a funeral or a homegoing and heard anybody accentuate they are asleep rather than using the word dead, rather than using the word gone, rather than using the word lost, rather than using the word they slipped away from us? Have you ever heard the word sleep accentuated?
I have. I heard a preacher one time preach a district mother's homegoing, and his message was sleep. He read the scriptures, and matter of fact, he even talked about Lazarus, and he read his message was sleep, and he talked about all the things that makes a person tired until the point where they come in, they get themselves freshened up, they put on their garments for bed, and they take their time and sleep. Said Lazarus was asleep until Jesus called his name, and he got up.
Well, I want to say that preacher gets a holy sermon because really, if you think about it, when we even go to the scriptures, they pronounce that they are dead. They do not deal with the fact that we sleep. We do not die. We are asleep. And that God is working on another day of life. But when you are dead, I got news for you. I might be getting ahead of myself, but when you are dead, you're not waiting really, if you want to use the word dead, you're not waiting on life. That's all I'm going to say right there. Hallelujah. But I want you to understand when Apostle said tonight, when you use the word sleep, you're resting. I want to give that another aid tonight and pass that out because truly that's what the saints do. We rest in the Lord. Sleep. We sleep in the Lord. We are not actually out to be out forever. All right, that's enough of that. Now, let's look at this other thing. If this story of Lazarus had not been a purpose of God, what would we have found out about Lazarus? Rather than him sleeping, what would have been the name about Lazarus? And what would have happened?
Hmm. That's something to think about. What would have happened? It probably would have never happened. It would have never taken place.
Thank you, because he would have been dead. So what miracle could we have gotten from somebody dead?
Nothing.
So when I say let's look at it now. We're talking beyond spiritual. He would have been dead. The reason Jesus said he sleeps because he had connection with him. And he knew that Lazarus was not dead because of his life with him. So he said he sleeps, he rests, he doeth good. But if he has just said, and I believe that's why he said it first, because he finally had to explain to the disciples, Lazarus is dead. But he was not talking about natural or demonic death. He was talking about Lazarus was waiting on him to do his part. And so he said to the disciples, Lazarus is dead. Now he announces that he is dead, meaning bodily he's gone. But he has already made the announcement that there was a connection. He rested, but he's not all gone. Lord have mercy. That right there is a message by itself. But I want you to understand. I'm trying to rush through this because I have to talk about this other that we have tonight. But when Jesus got to the grave and the person was still asleep, what was the first act Jesus did? Anybody remember?
Yes. Well, first of all, Jesus took his time.
Yeah.
He wasn't in a hurry.
He
didn't get in a hurry. I'm going to accept that. He was always looking for something a little further down the road. But now I'm going to say it now. When Jesus got there, what was his first act?
I'm thinking that he holds a conversation with Lazarus' sister.
Yes. His first act. See, a lot of times we don't see a miracle because we have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what would Jesus have looked like coming there working a miracle and they're in disarray? See, sometimes we want the flow of this power of God, but there are things out of order that says no move of God is getting ready to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus did what first? He got Martha and Mary straightened out. And what was the conflict?
Jesus, had you been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. So what they were saying is, you took too long to come and see about him while he was sick because was your friend.
That's what they said, but when Jesus got to talking, what did he find out the real conflict was?
Their real conflict was they were thinking that, you know, Lazarus would get up again after the resurrection.
And not only the conversation about the resurrection, but what was the problem with Martha and Mary?
They didn't believe.
They didn't believe, but what was their personal problem?